League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant. That's a G, yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hope you've had a good weekend. It was not a good weekend for Houston sports. It was not a good weekend.
What a disaster.
The Cougs, our beloved Cougs, RIP.
Jamal Shedd goes down. That's the only reason they lost that game.
It really is. Duke got dog walked. The Astros.
Oh, God.
0-4 to start the season for the first time since, like, 1978.
Yep.
And the Rockets' 11-game win streak ended with Luka Doncic hitting the most ridiculous underhand three-point shot I've ever seen in my life. Maybe because it's the only one I can think of, but not a great weekend, not a banner weekend for Houston sports. Friday, Paul, it felt like it could be. Astros rebound. Can they get game two versus the Yankees? Can the Cougs advance in the tournament? Get Kelvin Sampson a championship? Can the Rockets win 12, 13 straight? No.
I was watching all three games Friday night, which was fun. How often are there three fairly important games going on? Because you want to watch the Rockets. They're in the midst of the winning streak. The Astros are playing the Yankees, and even if it is the first series of the year, you hate the Yankees. And it's not just that the Cougars are playing with a chance to go to the Elite Eight. They're playing Duke. So you watch all three of those games, and yeah, to see, one, just the Astros bullpen continue to hand things over to the opposition, to see Jamal Shedd get injured and think to yourself, man, it's going to be really hard. And damn, the Cougs have just the worst luck in the NCAA tournament when it comes to injuries. And at least the Rockets won. But then, as you said yesterday, Luka was just unfair. I don't know what you were supposed to do against that. But yeah, in totality, Joe, the major American sports in the city of Houston, Cougs lose 0-1. Astros lose all three 0-3. Rockets split. They're 1-1. And the Roughnecks also lost. So Houston was 1-6 in American sports this weekend. Thank goodness we have the Houston Dynamo who won and the Houston Sabercats who won.
There we go.
And we're an international sports city now.
We are.
Time to shift focus.
Yeah, it's time to focus. Focus elsewhere. Let's play the blame game today
for
with the Houston Astros. There's so much to get into, but We'll start the show with the blame game. You have so many options. Text in 713-780-3776, twitch.tv/ESPN975, ESPN Houston on YouTube, and the HRMP listener on 713-780-3776. But there's so much blame to go around for the 0-4 start to the Astros that it's hard to pinpoint one thing. But for me, as bad as the bullpen was at times, as much as, you know, Abreu, Presley, and Hader at some point this weekend let you down, it's the lineup. The fact that they had, two extra base hits going into Sunday's game, that multiple times, you know, probably 25-plus guys left on base throughout the series versus the New York Yankees. The lineup, just everything that went wrong at the end of last year and in the regular season and in the playoffs where they just could not hit, could not do anything at home, it has carried over into 2024 in the absolute worst way possible. So my blame, first for me, goes to the lineup.
Jose Abreu looks like the Jose Abreu for much of last year. You are certainly getting unlucky in some ways. Yordan Alvarez in particular had one of the most frustrating Sundays you're ever going to see. Had a couple of absolute bombs. They just were to the wrong part of the ballpark. He misses a double down the left field line as well late in that game by inches. But yeah, we look at this offense, Joe, and you feel like it has the potential to be one of the best in baseball. Starting pitching, for the most part, did its job. The bullpen, clearly frustrating, needs to be better. But you understood that there were going to be some limitations because you can't expect the starting rotation with the injuries to be able to pitch into the sixth inning every single night. And also, it's 2024. No one does it as it is. But the lineup has got to score. And the lineup is capable of scoring. And I guess the big question is, well, is it just a slow start? Or are we still focusing on the problem that was a problem last year where they just can't hit, for whatever reason, at Minute Maid Park?
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. And yes, there's some bad luck in here, right? Juan Soto hits the home run that goes right by the foul pole into the Crawford boxes. It's, what, 341 feet. Jose Altuve's home run is less than 350. But Yordan Alvarez has two outs over 380 feet in the game. And the one, you know, in the ninth inning yesterday, it goes to the warning track and Judge catches it. So you feel like they're right there still at the same time. But that's what's frustrating. That's why this 0-4 start feels different. Normally, I would see the reaction that's happening on social media to a start of a baseball season and say people are overreacting. But the fact that it's mostly carryover issue from last year, that's what's the most concerning. It's the same issues that have been.
I'm going to read a quote to you from manager Joe Espada. And I'm going to ask you, objectively, how you would have responded to this if Dusty Baker had said it. When asked about Sunday's loss, said Joe Espada, courtesy of Chandler Rome of The Athletic, quote, "Not luck on our side. Yordan hit two balls today that should have left the yard, but they didn't. I like the fight, man. I like the fight. That's what it's all about. Give yourself a chance. You fight until the last out of the game, and if you do that, you're going to find yourself in a good spot to win games." I thought this was the analytics guy. And look, I'm just a simple, casual baseball fan. Lots of people tell me that I don't know ball all the time. But I was told that with Joe Espada as the Astros' new manager, that things would be different, that the lineup would be better. I was also told that with Yiner Diaz as the catcher every single day, that things would be better. And you might think I'm being disingenuous right here. You also might think that I have a very interesting choice of shirt on right now, given that it says, "In Dusty, we trusty." No, it just happened to be up on the docket of the shirts that I was going to wear. But a lot of people were of the mindset that new manager means this is an 105-win team. New catcher means this is an 105-win team. And ultimately, what's happening is the same problems that happened in last year's postseason where the team can't hit at home, and the same problems that were happening for much of last year where they had a losing record at home. And to go back to what you were saying, lineup has to be the number one blame. The lineup is too good to look like that. Even if the Yankees have good pitching, even if the Yankees have a good lineup, even if the Yankees actually might be a legitimate AL contender now. Juan Soto definitely did that for them.
So superstar.
The lineup is the problem because we know that they are capable of more.
Because you could have won every game. Even when your bullpen made mistakes and gave up leads in the first two games, you know, in the middle relief, but when you didn't have Abreu, or when Presley gave up the run, what, on Friday night, then Saturday it's Abreu, and Sunday it's Hader. You have all these guys left on base. You have opportunities to drive in more runs. It's the lineup. It's 100% the lineup's problem, because to me, the rotation, the bullpen, they did enough.
Like, yeah, 100%.
Yes, Hunter Brown pitches four innings. You wanted to see him go farther into a game. But what happens next? Seth Martinez and Mashinsky come in, and they get you to the seventh inning so you can unleash Abreu, Presley, Hader for the first time, and it's a disaster. It was a disaster. The first two games, of course, the middle relief was not good. And while Yiner Diaz was incredible these first four games, the starting pitching was getting squeezed at times. Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. That's kind of how it feels. The main culprit so far to be named individually here seems to be Jose Abreu.
The Pilates. I mean, I'm sure his core is stronger and his back feels better.
Yeah.
And it is one series, and there's going to be a lot of people out there who are saying, hey, don't panic, don't freak out. And certainly, granted, but what did you say coming into the segment? 0-4 for the first time since what? 78?
It's not good.
78. Okay, I mean, this is a historic start. It's four games, but it's still historic. And it's not going to get any easier with the Toronto Blue Jays next.
It's not. And that's where Jose Abreu is the one player that I view that is the most I don't feel confident in is going to just figure it out. Everything else that we're talking about here already to start the show, there's still hope that everything's going to be okay. But Abreu is the one that it just looks, it looks so ugly again. I know it's one, but he's hitless in his first four games for his career as well. So as bad as it was for the Astros, the first four games, Jose Abreu, just as bad. I mean, to have four games into your season, not have a single hit, it's not good.
No, it isn't. You both looked at me.
Looked like you had a thought a little bit ago. Yeah.
Well, he looked at you, so that I looked at you.
Oh, no, because now I was looking at the cameras, and I was thinking I'm going to have to go in there and try to make you all the same height.
I wanted a meaty take.
I was like, it's about my height.
Okay, my meaty take. Jose Abreu, somehow the worst first baseman on the Houston Astros. John Singleton can look at someone on the team and be like, hey, I'm playing better than this guy.
I mean, you got
to. You even look at Victor Caratini and you're like, well, can he play a little bit of first base?
No, I mean.
People are talking up Joey Loperfido as
already.
It's been three games in the minor leagues. It's minor league numbers. Relax. He had a good spring, supposedly, but like that's where we're at.
But.
We're pretty down bad if we're talking about Joey Loperfido.
But the current roster is creating that opening for Loperfido to step up and be like, hey, you know, the fans what they see at Minute Maid Park is first baseman that cannot hit, and then when what they see in Sugarland at Constellation Field or what they hear from Constellation Field on ESPN 92.5 is nothing but home runs for Joey Loperfido.
Yeah.
I get the like, this guy, get this guy up here. What are we doing? But yeah, I mean, Abreu to me is like probably the most alarming. Abreu and Presley, if I were to power rank the most alarming first four game overreaction power rankings, those are the two that I'm most worried about because the middle relief, it's kind of what we expect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, and it's something they can improve on. Like they can. Just trade for some guys that are better than Parker Mashinsky. I'm sorry, Parker Mashinsky, but there's probably someone that they can bring in to be better than you.
Hey,
I'm not sure what the out is. If Presley just cannot be an eighth inning guy or a seventh inning, he has to be a closer, but there's already a better closer on the roster.
He's got
to
go.
I'm not sure what the out is. It's same thing with Jose Abreu. It's like... Dude, you're going to have to figure it out because there's no way that you're going to be the backup first baseman. You can only play first base. And with your contract, like you kind of have to start this guy.
Yeah, it is. And Montero, he was there too. The two worst contracts. That's what this season is. Just it's a continuation of the old. It's two bad contracts are holding you back. And Jose Abreu, Rafael Montero right away. Dana Brown did not address. He let 200 innings walk in free agency. And he brought one guy in instead of bringing in, you know, two capable starting pitchers. Ryan Stanek was a free agent 2 weeks ago. So, like, if you feel like he was a solution, I don't. You could have had him, too. The other guy was getting the blame is – I don't know how you feel about the blame on social media to Joe Spada.
I think it's over the top. But at the same time, I just want everybody who was going after Dusty Baker last year to – remember what they were acting like last year. There will become a certain point where no manager is good enough for you. And I still find it interesting that AJ Hinch faces significantly less flack for some of his decisions that actually cost the Houston Astros in a World Series or in the 2015 playoffs against the New York Yankees, where Dusty, it was, well, it's the night-to-night stuff with him. Now with the spot up, I saw some people are saying, oh, well, they're not properly motivated. No, the guys have to play. It is about performance. It's about the guys hitting. It's about the guys pitching. I really don't think that managers have much of an impact. But I have laughed seeing a lot of the people who believe that Dusty Baker was such a detriment trying to kick up a bleep storm in defense of themselves online because a lot of the people, like myself, who felt like they went too far last year, calling him essentially every word except for the R word, those people, I think, should look at themselves in the mirror and wonder, wait, just how much does a manager actually do? And why did I make Dusty Baker my convenient scapegoat for this team not going where they were supposed to go last year.
Yeah, I thought it was fascinating to see the people that were tweeting negative things about Joe Espada, and then the intelligent people were saying, where was this energy last year? Like, there are things that Dusty Baker did that frustrated me, specifically with Martin Maldonado and Yainer Diaz. Outside of that, Dusty Baker did a really good job here. He won you a World Series. He won a lot of baseball games. And it, the frustration with Espada, it's too soon. And frankly, what is he supposed to do? There's so much to get into. We'll get your reaction. Who are you blaming everything on over the first four games? 713-780-3776. Twitch.tv/ESPN975 and on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Before we go to break, I'm going to tell you about my friends at O Athletic. You can check them out. 767 North Shepherd, oathletic.com. Over 100 classes per week. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, mixed martial arts, boxing, agility training, weightlifting training. Bunch of different classes that you can take. They have them early in the morning. If you want to go before work, they have them after work. All throughout the week, you can do that. You can get personal training as well. And if you just want to work out on your own, you can do that as well. They've got indoor pool, the endless pool. They've got saunas. They've got a coffee bar. Everything you possibly need from a gym, they have at O Athletic. When you go, sign up. Tell them that Joe George sent you by.
It's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
King of Twitch says on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975, half the Bronx were in town. That was embarrassing. Sure as hell felt like a road game. Maybe that's why.
There were a lot of Yankee fans there.
There were so many Yankee fans there.
I mean, I wasn't there for any of these games, but you could hear Let's Go Yankee chants on the broadcast, and I can't even imagine what it would be like to be in a section. And here's the worst part. Sure, it's very easy to bring up all of the playoff victories over the Yankees, 22, 2019, 2017, 2015, but we are beating them. If in defense of the Astros losing four games over the course of the weekend and Thursday too, we're saying, well, championship. Like, we're just doing what the Yankee fans do. There's no True. Defense. They came in, they conquered, and yeah, it's the worst. How many of these people are actually from New York City? Skeptical. I'm skeptical on that front. I do think it's weird that people make New York City the center of United States culture.
Hmm.
But whatever, it's fine. I'm just from Boston and hate the idea of that city as a whole. Stolen from Native Americans for five beads or something like that. People don't forget. But yeah, for them to come in here and do that, and you don't really have anything that you can say in response other than, well, congratulations on your World Series this year. But with Juan Soto aboard, like, we can't deny it. They look a lot better. And, yeah, there's some struggles in the lineup. Maybe they're starters you don't look at and take them seriously. But, I mean, you didn't even face Gerrit Cole over the course of these four games. And Soto looked great. Imagine if, what happens if Aaron Judge actually does anything. Now, that doesn't always happen against the Houston Astros. And that other guy, Oswaldo Cabrera. I mean, I want to make fun of him for having the name Oswaldo. But, damn, it was a great weekend for Oswaldos out there. Shout out to all my Oswaldos.
Yeah, how many Oswaldos do you know?
Zero. The only Oswald I know is the what Mickey Mouse used to be named.
Yeah.
We were talking about in the commercial break.
The original, the OG Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, like Mickey the is like rat, I guess, rat Mickey Mouse.
Yeah,
rat. Named Oswald. Yeah. He got traded for Al Michaels.
What a story. 0002, I tried to tell y'all, you guys, I've learned how to type here if I'm going to read your text.
I tried to tell y'all that George can't do math or read.
He says, I tried to told you that we would miss Papa's gut feelings. Espada's first time as the manager without Dusty. He will get better.
Pawpaw.
I do miss Pawpaw, though, and the toothpick power. Now, the one difference between Dusty Baker and Joe Espada is that when Dusty Baker would go into his bullpen, he had, you know, Abreu, Presley, Maton, Stanek, Neris. The first two games of the series, and people were getting upset with Joe Espada because of who he went to in the sixth inning. I'm like, What do you want him to go? Like, what options does he have here, guys?
Well, Taylor Scott. He struck out the side.
Also, I think I like Taylor Scott.
I was going to say, was Taylor Scott the first reliever to pitch for the Astros this season? Was he the first reliever?
I thought it was Seth Martinez.
I think it was Seth Martinez, and then Taylor Scott.
And then Taylor Scott.
Yeah.
The fact that those are the first two relievers of this season shows the lack of options that we got.
Yeah, so like that's where...
But Joe Espada's supposed to get the most out of them. It's Joe Espada. He's not lazy like Dusty Baker is force-feeding them banana pudding.
Your blame is in the wrong direction there, folks. This is a Dana Brown problem and a Jim Crane problem.
Uh-oh.
Because they mismanaged some of their money. They gave a bad contract to Jose Abreu, and while like I don't agree with Junior Bronco on the Twitch that Yuli Gurriel would be better because, I don't know, Google his stats. He's terrible. He's better at defense. They brought in Abreu. They brought in Montero. And then they let three bullpen arms walk and replace them with Josh Hader and... You really limited your option, and your solution is hopes and dreams of people recovering from injuries.
It's volume of arms, not quality of arms.
Yes.
That's your problem, because you have three, when they're good, quality arms. We'll see with Ryan Presley. It is Ryan Stresley mode right now. We'll also see with Brian Abreu, who definitely looked like he had been, I don't know, suspended for all of spring training, let alone the first two games of the year in his first appearance. But after that, are you expecting like these arms to... improve because of a new manager like that? That is disingenuous to think that Joe Espada is going to get more out of rando relievers.
I wish he could.
As you said, you laid it out perfectly. They had a lot of good arms last year, and now, I mean, what sucks the most about the payroll, if you go to the website and check it out, like, just look how much money Jose Abreu, Rafael Montero, and Lance McCullers are getting. So you give Josh Hader that contract, like, you almost wish you could give it to multiple like above-average relievers as opposed to one awesome one. Because right now, you just need above-average guy.
Has Lance McCullers been the most positive out of that trio?
Yes. Not even close.
I feel like we, and at the time, it was immediately after the Astros won the World Series. So it is understandable why no one really wanted to be hypercritical during that time. Man, the like 3 months that between James Click leaving and Dana Brown getting hired, it was so damaging to the Astros.
Yeah.
Because that's when Jose Abreu got signed. That's when Rafael Montero got signed. It's just like, oh, that for the last 2 years, that's been the two most disappointing members of the Astros are those two guys. And those guys got signed to it's not a huge deal for Jose Abreu, it's big. Considering what he's given you, but like the Montero money is just like every time I remember that it's $13 million a year, I'm like, well, how is that possible that he got $13 million a year?
I mean, I'd rather have Brandon Belt, who's sitting in free agency right now, than Jose Abreu. I don't have any expectations that maybe like they were pumping this on the broadcast all weekend long that last year Jose Abreu was hurt, had a slow start, but he led the league in RBIs the last month of the season. But to just look this flat and you know, and Whiskey brings it up here on the Twitch. Even the defense was awful with all the errors.
Comedy of horrors. Friday night. Was it Friday? Yeah, Friday night, the Parker Mashinsky inning.
Oh, that throw was wild.
That was comical. The errors that were being committed, not just by Mashinsky. Unfair for me to pin it all on Mashinsky.
I mean,
but what, Pena screwed up a toss to Altuve. I will say Pena, or Mashinsky's was the funnier of the errors because it was like, whoa.
Was it funnier because of the throw or because Jose Altuve, the way he dove after it? And he wasn't even close.
Little bit of call. It just bodies flying. It's like the Astros play from like whatever 2013 or 2012 when they were just like absolutely terrible. And just like they were just throwing the ball all over the infield. Mm-hmm. It was that level for that one inning.
And then you have the Abreu where it just skips right. He just totally misjudges the ball and skips right past them. That was very un-Astros.
Well,
that's
defense,
not a concern.
The defense wasn't that great last year.
Defense
took a step back last year, and I mean, that's something that they were pushing all offseason. Well, we've been working on the defense. Yeah. They've clearly been working on the base running. The base running is better. You want to take a positive away from this weekend. Also, Jeremy Pena, shout out to him. He might be the Astros' best hitter based off of the first weekend first series of the year. He's batting. I think he's the only one that's batting like 400 or so.
Yeah, him and Yiner are both
incredible. Yiner, that's it, right? Yeah, those two. But the defense. Oof. The defense. You just look. A lot of things went wrong, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who are also saying marathon, not a sprint, and that is true. Maybe Panic Man makes an appearance, ironically, later on in the show or something like that. This is a good Yankee team that you went up against. It is a Yankee team that beat you three times at Minute Maid Park last year as well. The thing that I just can't get over, and this is perhaps the casual baseball fan in me, is just how the hell are they so bad at hitting at home? It is bizarre.
It makes zero logical sense.
It is so strange. And I know they brought up the batter's eye last year. The idea that they wouldn't do something about the batter's eye to make it a little bit more visible and actually speak to the players over the offseason just goes against everything that we're told Jim Crane is.
But
super competitive guy. You would think that he would see that and he'd be like, okay, well, we got to make an exception in center field.
Yonder Diaz doesn't have a problem with the batter's
That's
eye.
True. Jeremy Pena.
Yeah. Oswaldo Cabrera doesn't have an issue with the batter's
Soto
eye.
That's
the thing where I'm like, guys, grow up. Like, what are we talking about right now?
I mean, and the last we heard about it, like, I guess I need to go to Minute Maid Park to look at this, but the last tangible report we had was right after the season ended, Michael Schwab reported that someone in probably Astros media told him that they were fixing the batter's eye and they were going to paint more of it, more than they did in the postseason last year because they didn't fix it enough last year. It's not the excuse.
Cornbread Fred brings up an interesting point. I think it's because the fans suck at home. I mean, the Yankee fan participation definitely screams, it's a little too quiet there. And I brought this up before. There is a cake, wine and cheese element to Astros fans these days. The eye of the tiger is not there. And it does suck when a team that has a fan base like the Yankees comes into town. It is very, very quiet. The Twin series was a mausoleum. Against the Rangers, they got up. But it was a mausoleum against the Twins. And that was a playoff series. So I don't disagree with that at all. It's a bit of a bandwagon sports town. And when one team's been really good for a really long time, you get a little bored on the bandwagon.
Where have the Astros been at their best since 2020, or since really 2021, when fans started going to games? When they go to Yankee Stadium, when they go to Boston, when they go to Dodger Stadium, and they're just booing the living hell out of Jose Altuve and Bregman and these guys, they answer. They answer when they're getting booed. Maybe we boo at home.
I've brought this up a couple of times. Maybe, just maybe, you really want to fit into that heel role, and you want fans to come into the ballpark in a bad mood, thinking, I'm going to slosh a couple of these $37 margaritas that I didn't get at Highway Cantina. Thanks, Joe Biden. You should rename this ballpark Enron Field. I mean, everyone will be in a bad mood when they come into the arena, into the stadium. They're all gonna, you know, wanna throw a few backs. They realize what that entity did to this city. We need to do something.
We need to try anything.
We discussed this. Do you want me to take a look and we can call during a couple of commercial breaks? Do you want me to see if we can like perform an exorcism on Minute Maid Park?
Yes.
Because I'm getting into the supernatural on this front. When you run out of explanations for something that makes absolutely no sense, like the Astros are just garbage at home but great on the road, the only explanation can be the supernatural. And, you know, the day after we remember a man coming back from the dead, like maybe we need some help from the supernatural right now.
I think we do. I think we need some help because the offense is not good at home. And then good thing there's a bunch of really good teams in front of them over the next month of the season. What a way to start the season. The Astros take on the Blue Jays tonight. We'll continue talking about this weekend game, the four games. We'll get to the Rockets as well. It's Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
First, let me tell you about my friends at the Highway Cantina. Yeah, this is where you can get reasonably priced margaritas before you're going to the baseball game or the basketball game or the soccer game or really anything downtown. 975 Tall Texan Margaritas. They are fantastic. You can also get a big old frozen one for $15. But what really sets Highway Cantina apart to me is the array of food that you can get there. And obviously, you can get your traditional Tex-Mex, whether it's just fajitas. The chicken fajitas are fantastic. Honestly, I almost never get chicken fajitas. The chicken fajitas here are something else. But you can get wood-fired oysters. They have mesquite sausage. They have all sorts of things that you might be craving, but not thinking that you would actually get from a Tex Max Place. And it's really clean inside, great air conditioning and TVs too, so that you can watch all of the games if you're in the area, whether it's for a happy hour or it's for an important business meeting or just a place to go before and after the games. Highway Cantina is your go-to spot in downtown Houston. Go there and tell them Paul Gallant sent you.
Kane is in the building.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
3285. Is this a Aaron Rodgers relax situation or a panic man situation? I lean relax, but I'm not confident.
Wow. And you're quoting Aaron Rodgers too. Damn, that must hurt.
Yeah.
Is that painful?
Nah.
To quote essentially the, you know, genocider of the Chicago Bears.
Four plays. That's all he got last year. That was enough. All the pain and anger I felt. Poof.
But it wasn't for the Packers, because Jordan Love was for the Packers, and Jordan Love was doing the same thing. Again, you can jump off that bandwagon whenever you choose.
I know. I go with relax.
Okay, you'll go with relax.
It's not panic, man, yet.
I'm not saying relax. I'm choosing neither right now. I'm also not going on panic, and you can put a gun in my head and say, Paul, you got to pick. You got to pick one of these two.
I'm not going to yell at you.
I will look at that gun and I'll say I choose neither, because this is, to me, it's semi concerning, because it's not about losing four to the Yankees. It's about, you just look like you have your work cut out for you in middle relief, and how taxed are you going to be when you do eventually get some of the starting reinforcements back? That's what I'm wondering. It is a marathon, not a sprint. They could have a wretched April and still come back and win the division, go on to the ALCS. My question right now is, with a very difficult schedule these first 21 games or so, where you're playing the Rangers a couple of times and you're playing the Braves too, and you just play the Yankees, the Blue Jays are no slouch, where are you going to be at the end of it?
So that's
I'm a little more nervous about where they'll be at the end of it than I am and was going into this past weekend series plus in the Thursday game too.
I mean, last year you had multiple relief pitchers that were leading the league or at the top of the league in innings pitched. You've started your season in which you've already seen Hader pitch multiple times, Presley Abreu pitch multiple times. While the ERA is below 2 for the starters through 4 games, that's very, very good. You haven't got the depth. So to your point, it is a question of how they need some blowouts like in the next couple days, I kind of hope for. Whether it's one way or the other, give some guys some breathers.
Whether it's one way or the other,
I don't really care.
I was going to say, you can't really blow people out when every pitcher you bring in the 6th inning gives up 3 runs.
That's true.
It's hard to blow people out doing that.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Abreu pitched 72 innings last year. Montero was 67.
Maybe, just maybe, this was entirely a byproduct of the Yankees' offense. And for the most part, these middle relievers aren't going to have issues against the very many scrubs in the American League.
But they did really good Saturday and Sunday. That's the thing. Is just Thursday, Friday were not good. They got you to your guys.
You could have won all 4 of those games.
Oh, yeah. That's one of the positives, and that's why I'm a little more relaxed.
Barely even a positive, too.
Barely even a positive.
A positive.
It's kind of a loser mentality positive.
Hey, you could have won these games.
And it goes back to what Joe Espada is saying. Well, they got unlucky. But again, some people want to hear that.
They did a little bit. I'll give them that. Like, they got JP France got blooped to death.
I will just say, you can only do the "we got unlucky" in the first 4 games of the season.
It's over now.
Like, you cannot like on June 1st, if there are however many games, let's just say like 29 and 31, you cannot go, well, you know, we just haven't been lucky.
Hang on. I'm just going to be the devil's advocate here. How many? Well, they got lucky cards do you have over the course of a regular season? If you're any sports team.
Like one.
Just one? For the whole year?
You can't
have just one for the whole year.
Something crazy has to happen. Like, you can get one and then one, like Jamal Shedd thing where it's like, what are we supposed to do? Like, that is unlucky, but it's kind of a different thing. Like, this is, you can't just go, oh, got unlucky. Every time you lose, every time you play bad,
but you can be
playing poorly. These guys are playing poorly.
But you can't do it just once either. You have to be able to do it. I mean, it's going to happen again. There will be bad luck again.
I guess.
The injuries are bad luck, for example.
I guess you can be unlucky, but you cannot call out how unlucky you, because that's when you get to Aaron Boone mode. That's when you get into every time we lose, let me pull out their list and here's all the things that went against us. It's like, yeah, dude, that's what happens when you lose. Like, plays go against you when you lose. Win.
Yeah, you'll have unlucky games, but let's say they start the season 3-10. That's not unlucky anymore.
Well, you could say, again, devil's advocate here.
I know. Thank God we have the devil's advocate here.
Well, they were all.
They were unlucky. Yesterday was tough for the devil.
Hey,
thank you for advocating.
It was.
For
it was. Devil fall. It was. What was his name? Michael? He just had some different ideas. Now all of a sudden he's the devil. He just had different ideas. It might not have been that crazy. But no, I mean, look at the schedule to open the year. That is unlucky. Right?
Mm-hmm. No, unlucky. That's just your schedule, dude. Like,
well,
you're going to play everybody.
You're
going to play everybody.
Yes, you are, but it's unlucky to face all of these teams when you are dealing with as many injuries.
Okay.
So I'm going to throw more unlucky.
Then guess what? Guess what? You're going to have to play bad teams eventually. It'll be when all your guys are healthy. Then you got lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can be unlucky and lucky in the same season.
No, but you can't say the hard part of our schedule is unlucky.
It
the
is.
Easy part of our schedule is just, that's, hey, everyone got healthy. No,
that'll
lucky
be lucky.
Too.
That'll be lucky. But okay. Right now, it is.
They better freaking win those games in August.
Which,
I'll tell you
I don't
that.
Know. Remember last year when they wouldn't win any of those games?
Yeah, by the way, were they unlucky when they got swept by the Royals and the Athletics last year?
Yeah, not great. 6-0, 3-0. Been screaming at the radio for months that this lineup is not sufficient. There are four solid hitters. The rest of the lineup is trash.
I should call in and scream.
Pena bleeping sucks. Abreu's dog
water.
Pena
does not suck. Don't say that about my friend.
Look, here. Okay. Okay. 6-0, 3-0.
Watch your mouth. I'll fight you.
The lineup, while they did not, you know, they left all these guys on base and way too much runs just in the field. The lineup is plenty sufficient. Chaz McCormick is a solid player. Jeremy Pena, good start to the season. Yiner Diaz can rake. And then, I don't know, you have Kyle Tucker, Alex Bregman, Yordan Alvarez, Jose Altuve. Yes, Jose Abreu, not good. Yes, Jake Meyers, not good. He shouldn't be your starting fielder if you're pinch hitting for him twice to start the season. Start Dubon. That's my Joe Espada beef. Like,
that's
play
been
Dubon.
An interesting one.
Play Mauricio Dubon.
That's happened in multiple games now. If it was one game, I'd be like, okay, I get it. I am very confused by their handling.
And they do this like, well, you know, it's the sinker versus a righty, so they want a lefty in there. It's like, what
take him out. Like, if your starting center fielder has to come out, like, this is not Martin Maldonado. Maybe it is. Maybe it is.
I mean, he's playing. Or I guess he's basically as Martin Maldonado.
Let's be honest. They're
Paul was right. Start Mauricio Dubon center field.
If they had Martin Maldonado, I mean, his bullpen might be looking a little bit better, because Martin Maldonado probably would have gotten more out of Taylor Scott and Seth Martinez. Just
how
not Rafael
Montero. How much more left in there is there for Taylor Scott and Seth Martinez?
good question.
How much
Martin
juice
Maldonado would give us the answer to it? Instead, you know, we got this kid, this Yiner Diaz guy. Oh, he's hitting 400 at the plate.
I like that. Ryan Presley's looking at him being like, I can't throw to this guy. I don't care how many home
runs
he hits.
He's not a champion.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the making of a varsity athlete.
Yeah, he could hit 500. I don't care. Call some pitches for me.
All right. We got so much Astros stuff to get into. We'll get to the Rockets a little bit later. There's still the blame game. It's continuous for the Astros. 0-4 start of the season. Not a lot of good. We'll try to find some positives a little bit later. I'm going to make positive Paul will make an appearance on the show today, I think.
That's always hard.
I think positive Paul will be here. I'll be positive.
I've been positive. I've been bringing up luck. And you guys are like, oh, you're just a witch doctor. Oh, you believe in the supernatural. Sorry, I tried to have faith again after yesterday, Joseph. Right, yesterday was a big day.
It was a big day.
I'm trying to turn my life around.
Yeah.
I want to have faith again.
Did you? What did you give up for Lent?
I gave up giving anything up.
That's a good touche.
Yeah.
Touche.
Granado should have done that. Who's a better Catholic? I gave up giving up anything.
Granado drinking again. He's got to be very happy, I'd imagine. Well, you know what? You know what I'm not happy about? I was opening my backpack this morning, pulling out my headphones, and these tickets came out of my backpack. And I realized I still need 93 wins for Sean Brown and I to win our Astros over bet that we placed at LaBerge Lake Charles last weekend. 93 wins to go, guys. 0-4 to start the season. Not the way we want when you place a wager like that. But if you want to bet on the Astros, the Texans, the Rockets, any of your Houston teams, you can do that at LaBerge in Lake Charles. Great sports book, plenty of TV, great food as well. Whether you want to have betting, go to the betting kiosk, go straight up to the sportsbook managers to place a bet, download the ESPN Bet app, however you want to bet, you can do at the sportsbook at LaBerge Lake Charles. If you have not yet so, download the PennPlay app before you go. You can up to $2,000 in PennPlay cash. And when you leave Texas and want to bet on your teams, make sure you go to LaBerge Lake Charles.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
The blame game is strong. Jose Abreu seems to be taking the most heat, which doesn't totally surprise me, even though it's really not all his fault. It's just frustrating that he has been so bad. 6-5-1-7, the offense can't blow out anyone. I wouldn't tend to agree with that. I mean, the offense will be better this year. I mean, Jose Altuve, Alvarez, Bregman, Tucker have less than 5 extra base hits combined to start the season.
Is it a mistake to shift the lineup the way that they did, where Altuve's leading off, Yordan's now batting second, and you got Bregman hitting cleanup?
Based off what Joe Espada did so quickly with moving Yainer Diaz to fifth, I think he will tell us the answer to that question very soon. Because that's one thing that stood out as a positive this weekend, that with the Abreu struggles and with the way Yainer was hitting, the fact that he moved Yainer to the five hole that quickly was something I enjoyed. Because not an anti-Dusty thing, but we know Dusty was kind of set in his lineup. We saw even when... You know, I think 2 years ago, if Jose Altuve was out and Mauricio Dubon wasn't good, Mauricio Dubon would still lead off. He wouldn't adjust his lineup in other ways. So if Joe Espada thinks this isn't going to work, I wouldn't be surprised if it changes quickly to see Bregman back in the two spot at some point.
So the opposite of patient, and that can be proactive, but that can also be impatient. It's a fine line to tightrope across.
It is.
So this is also something that theoretically could be used against Espada, especially by the suddenly very vocal pro-Dusty Baker people that were annoyed with the way that he was treated by a lot of the online dorks last year. I would consider myself one of those people.
I mean, Dusty Baker said it when he left.
Legitimately did.
30-year-olds.
One of the things I am enjoying is seeing these people, because baseball, there is an element of this. It's a thinking man's game. Like, baseball people want to tell you that. It's like, oh, okay, that does explain how fatty boom baddies like Bartolo Colon and Pablo Sandoval can be successful in the sport. It's a thinking man's game. But I do love when the thinking men that push the game as being such a thinking man's game, I love it when they're wrong and they're so confident in their belief that things would be dramatically different. It is a 4-game sample size, but I just think for anyone who thought that last year's season came to an end because of Dusty Baker, you're an idiot.
Agreed.
You're an idiot. That had nothing to do with their season coming to an end. Guys couldn't hit. Guys couldn't pitch. Is Dusty Baker supposed to go and do what Gisele Bündchen suggested her husband do, throw and catch the football, which, by the way, he can't do in a Super Bowl? Was he supposed to do that?
To be fair to Gisele. Crazy thing to say on the day after the sports weekend we've had. In defense of Giselle, she said, my husband cannot throw and catch the ball.
Oh, okay.
That's true. That's true.
Dusty cannot throw, catch, and hit the ball.
He could have at one point, but
Joe Espada can't either. But if you had that energy for Dusty last year, you can't also have that same energy for Espada. Yeah.
And
you have to pick a lane here.
It is like almost impossible for a manager to know for a fact that a manager is bad in four games.
Well,
because it is like what do you want Espada to do? Hey, Jordan. Can we get some hits? Hey, you know you're hitting them really hard.
Why didn't Espada call the home run play?
Like,
call the
home run play.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Call the home run play. Why is Espada not calling the home run play?
Hey, instead of hitting it 400 feet into straight center, hit it 400 feet to the Crawford boxes.
Come on, Joe Espada.
Those count for points.
Hey, Jordan, you know, it was a nice try in the ninth inning, but I need you to hit the ball 2 inches to the right on the left field line. I need you to do that. And you know what? If Dusty had told Jordan that, maybe he would have done it. But Joe Espada did it, and it's just a different message.
997, positive note, the Astros are in postseason form. Good point. They are.
What if they just win, like, the first, like, 9 road games?
That would be wild.
Just win the first 3 series.
I'd also say, though, like, they're not in postseason form because the starting pitching has done what it needs to.
It has, for the most part.
Fromber had the meltdown in game 1, but the starting pitching, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, did what it was expected to do.
The postseason home losses are normally the 3-1 variety or the 2-1 loss, where it's like they got nothing from their offense. These are, you know.
The Rangers losses, the last 2 losses against the Rangers, Sean. Like that was your starting pitcher just got beaten the bejesus out of, and you're smashed in the corner in a bloody pulp. Like, what do we do?
I was thinking the other games, and especially the 22 run where they would win. They would have to win every game 1-0. And like it just felt like everything was reliant on not allowing any runs at any time and then just hoping that there would be a Chaz McCormick solo home run that would win you the game.
Yeah. What do you think about the we haven't got this on the text or the Twitch so far, but it was a lot on social media over the weekend. The blaming of the umpires and the fact that the call center is in New York.
Ooh, I like that.
Yeah.
That definitely helps you not blame yourself. I like blaming people that aren't me for my issues. I don't. I feel bad whenever I do that. The people that do this, I get it. You're mad about specific calls. The one where it was clearly out at or safe at first base. That one I get. But New York bias on these calls, the first 4 games of the year.
They didn't just move the office, by the way.
It's been in New York.
They didn't just do that this offseason. It's been like that. It was like that in 2022, in 2019, and 2017. It was in the same place.
713-780-3776, the HRMP listener line. Let's go out there now to Brian. Brian, what's going on?
GAG Sports Radio, so is anybody else annoyed at the fact that Jeremy Pena will swing at anything?
Well, if his numbers continue like this, no. Not at all. He was saying GAG is Gallant and George.
Oh, duh. I'm an idiot.
Numbers.
G-Spot. Letters. GAG. There's so many nicknames for the show that we haven't even given ourselves.
I like the G-Spot nickname.
I do, too. I enjoy that the Twitchers say the number one G-Spot.
I think everyone loves the G-Spot.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, some people...
I think universally people love
it's the G-Spot. People who know where it is. That's the thing. Jeremy Pena, the guy is 6-for-15 thus far.
He does still swing at a lot of stuff that you don't love.
No doubt.
Yeah, but he hits them.
He does hit a lot.
At least he's hitting them.
The swing improvement, it's clearly working for him. The changed swing. It's quicker to the ball. I don't know why anyone would be criticizing Jeremy Pena after this first series of the year.
I'm calculator just to make sure I got this math right. Jeremy Pena and Yiner Diaz are not necessarily the issue because they're both have been very good. Jordan Alvarez and Alex Bregman are 5-for-32.
Alvarez's OPS season is 328. And again, there have been some near misses, but it's got to be better.
Mm-hmm.
No extra base hits by Jordan Alvarez to this point. Got to be better. You know, if the bottom of the lineup, for what it's worth, has been doing what it's supposed to. You got a hit from John Singleton. You've got pinch hits from Victor Caratini. Mauricio Dubon has done well. Jake Myers homered in his first at-bat.
Nothing since, though.
True, well, but you know. That was more than I was expecting.
Yeah, hey. That's true.
That was like the only home run the Astros had hit this season.
I know, until Altuve. It was a long stretch. It felt like we were going to be waiting for a long time for that one. I don't even know who this clown on the mound is today for the Blue Jays.
Clown on the mound.
Yeah.
Does that mean?
It might.
No, it just rhymed.
Bowden Francis. He's got a creepy mustache.
You know what?
I like Bowden.
You know what's going to be very disappointing?
When he throws a no-hitter?
No, that would be, though.
Too negative.
That would be. What's going to be very disappointing, I think, over the next three games, the amount of Blue Jays fans that are going to be at the park.
I hope not.
Blue Jays fans, weirdly, travel well. These people have been cooped up in Canada due to restrictions for a couple of years that I think are a little bit less crazy. And it's miserable weather all year round in Canada. The Blue Jays are Canada's team, and Blue Jays fans are sneakily some of the most insufferable asshats that there are when it comes to sports fans.
Well, they're Canadians.
Yes, but you would expect that means that they are polite. No.
No, look at Vancouver, the riots that happened after they won a Stanley Cup. Canada, not as nice as people say.
Yeah,
they put themselves on a pedestal.
People talk a lot about stereotypes being wrong. That stereotype's wrong. Can we walk back the nice Canadians?
Canada,
stereotype?
Not great.
Once
Canada sucks.
They're mean just like us.
Once, stupid flag.
Once this series gets underway, I will bring up some of the elements I learned about Blue Jays fans from my time in Seattle. Because, weirdly, Seattle Mariners fans, before the Astros became the Astros, probably hated the Blue Jays more than anyone in baseball. And it's entirely because of the invasion from British Columbia that would take place at every single game at T-Mobile Park.
All right.
They are an insufferable fan base, and it is going to be annoyingly loud for effing a Canadian team probably in the next couple of games.
Okay, we will get to the positives a little bit later, but there's other bad stuff that happened this weekend. The Rockets' 11-game win streak, that ended thanks to Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. We'll discuss that game and the future of the Rockets next year on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.